What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, more so just grading where both teams are at here. And I'll start with the Mets because the Mets are in a better position, being that they're just a half game back in second place in the NL East. And I would give them a better grade for the first half than I would the Yankees. I would give the Mets an A for their first half. And, you know, you got to be an A+. That's what you need to be if you want to win a division, you want to go out there and win a World Series. But everything right there in front of both these teams, and I hate to even use that word, you know, Booney uses it all the time, everything right there in front of us, it is. And all the complaining and all the ups and downs that we have throughout the course of a season, oh, this team stinks, it's a rough stretch, this guy can't hit, this guy can't catch, this guy can't pitch. Here we are with both teams in a good spot. But the reason why I would give the Mets an A is because think about all that they've overcome in this first half leading up to the All-Star break and where they're at in comparison to that. It's easy to forget the expectations coming into the year. The expectations were that the Mets are going to be a playoff team, sure. But did anybody expect that Atlanta would be buried 12 and a half games out of first place going into the All-Star break? Did anybody expect that the Mets would be right there neck and neck with the Phillies for the division lead? I don't think that that's the case. I think most people, especially after the injuries to the starting rotation, I think most people thought the Mets were the third best team in the division. All right, if things went right, could they be second? Maybe they could win it, sure. But with the way that things were going, with the pitching being banged up basically right out of the gate, I don't think anybody would expect this. And you've seen the Mets overcome not just the injuries to the rotation, losing the majority of, I mean, think about it. The Mets lost two-fifths of their rotation right out of the get-go with Montas and Minaya, and then Senga for a period, you know, Canning and McGill, all that they have taken on, not to mention the bullpen with A.J. Minter going down. And all the stuff that they've dealt with in the bullpen, that's just one name, you know, Budo being out or not being as effective, whatever. The Mets have dealt with a lot with that rotation, as have other teams, Yankees as well. We'll get to them in just a sec. But the Mets have dealt with a lot with the starting pitching. Oh, and by the way, their lineup has not carried them the way that we expected them to do so. Whether it be Vientos, whether it be Alvarez, whether it be Juan Soto. And you know I love Soto more than most, and you know why. It's not just, oh, he has a fanboy crush on Soto. Yeah, well, there's a reason for it. Because he's a beast. Because he's great. Now, what was the most appealing thing about Juan Soto throughout the course of his career, whether it goes back to the 2019 postseason, whether you saw it with the Yankees last year, whatever it may be, whenever you saw Soto, it's his ability to perform in the biggest of spots. And in baseball, the biggest spots are with guys on base. And Juan Soto has been god-awful with runners in scoring position. If he were Juan Soto with runners in scoring position, maybe the Mets would be A+ and in first place right now, even with all the injuries that they've taken on in their starting rotation. So while things are very good, and you have to be happy and satisfied if you're a Mets fan with where they're at right now, just a half game back of the Phillies as we reach the All-Star break. You know, winning 2 out of 3. Okay, the loss yesterday, a little annoying, but winning 2 out of 3 after losing the double dip to the Orioles the other day. The Mets weathered the storm from mid-June on and survived. And things are only going to get better. And I think an A is a more than fair grade for this team, all things considered. Expectations going in, what has gone on as far as the lack of performance, the injury, all that stuff. taking on the water during those, you know, the 10-game stretch with the Braves and Phillies, where it was looking like people were going to give up on the Mets. Oh, maybe they're not even going to be a playoff team. This team isn't legit. All of that. And here they are, just a half game back of the Phillies, in a very good spot. But there's more to be had. And to me, the biggest failure of the first half would, in fact, be Juan Soto with runners in scoring position. Because look at the Mets overall, right? Well, they pitched enough. I mean, for an extended period, they had the best ERA, team ERA, in all the sport. And they've taken on so many injuries. Now just getting Senga back again, getting Manaea back for the first time yesterday. Now you can envision having Montas back in that rotation. Now you can envision what it was supposed to look like, assuming those guys stay healthy in the second half. But their biggest issue in the first half was the lack of production with runners in scoring position. As a team, the biggest culprit of that was Juan Soto. And he's going to have to do more. So while we could look at his June and you could look at his numbers and we could say, well, April and May, and even though, you know, Juan, you know, it wasn't typical Juan Soto, it's still better than most. Look at the OPS. Look at the on base. Juan Soto is expected to do more, not just because of his contract, because he's always done more. I'm not talking about the power numbers or just the OPS specifically. I'm talking about driving in runners or producing with runners in scoring position. And that was the one constant all first half, even when he was on fire in June. A lot of solo homers in there. A lot of tack on homers in there. It's not nitpicking. This is reality. Juan Soto with runners in scoring position has been awful. He's supposed to thrive in those situations. So while you take an A, while you take where the Mets are at this All-Star break, you're going to need more from Juan Soto. As for the Yankees, 888-808-1019, I'd give the Yankees a B, which I think is fair. You could go B-minus. Maybe some of you go B-plus. I still think there's a lot more with the Yankees. Whereas the Mets, it's a little, all right, yeah, you got to get healthier here and have Soto produce runners in scoring position. I'm not sure how many more levels there are to the Mets. I do think the Yankees have a couple of levels to them. You started to see flashes of that against Seattle. And then what happens? They get away from that against the Cubs. And again, the offense goes and hides for a game or two. And that just can't happen. The inconsistencies with the Yankees are maddening because they should be better. And maybe even a bigger part of it is not just the guys that are performing at an inconsistent level, but the way that they're being utilized. It just doesn't make any sense. I get it, Booney, facing a lefty, and he's going to throw out there the right-handed lineup, which means Dominguez is not going to be in the leadoff spot, which means the Yankees aren't going to have as potent of an offense. It is what it is. The inconsistencies defensively, at times it's like, wow, look at this ball club. They're playing clean, crisp baseball. And at other times, you see yesterday, a major league shortstop making minor league plays in Anthony Volpe. That can't happen. Like, that's minor league stuff. Or Dominguez against the Mets in left field making, you know, errors that should not. And look, mistakes happen. Errors happen in the big leagues. It's just part of the game. But there are certain ones that should not be happening. And the Yankees, far too often, the catcher's interference nonsense, playing guys out of position. I mean, it's hard to give the Yankees more than a B when they finally, with six games to go ahead of the break, finally acknowledged that they were playing their best second baseman at third base. Then they finally came to the realization they'd be better off without DJ LeMahieu. Now, you take a B, especially the way things were going for the last few weeks, only two games back of the Blue Jays, but don't look now. All of a sudden, the Boston Red Sox, the team that I told you I would fear most in the American League East, this was even with the Blue Jays taking over the Yanks and even with the Rays being what they were, the Red Sox were the one team that I said, I think that's the one legit team or the one team that has a legit chance to knock off the Yankees in the AL East. I still think the Yankees are going to end up winning the division. I just think they're too good, and I think the other teams have too many flaws. But the one team that would worry me, and this is where it really started for the Yanks, to go in the wrong direction. When they got swept by the Red Sox in Fenway, and I came out on that Monday, I was like, dude, this is not good. BT's like, oh, no, not a big deal at all. I'm not worried at all. I'm like, I don't know. What are we, like, we got into a fight saying, what are you watching? He was saying that to me. I was saying that to him. And what I was watching was a team that showed significant flaws and letting the Red Sox off the mat. Well, the Red Sox have won 10 straight going into the break now on a heater, just one game behind the Yankees. Both teams with the same amount of wins. Think about that for a second. So with the way the Red Sox closed their first half or going into the All-Star break and with the way the Yankees have played over the last several weeks, I mean, there is reason for concern. And both those teams are looking up at the Blue Jays.
If you're early in your career and looking for insight, inspiration, and honest advice, listen to the Capital Ideas podcast. Hear from Capital Group professionals about leaning into the differences that make you unique, making decisions that last, and what it means to lead with purpose. The Capital Ideas Podcast from Capital Group. Available wherever you listen. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Judge is otherworldly. You would expect that to continue, of course. Cody Bellinger finally coming into his own as a Yankee, going nuts on Friday night, but just overall playing the brand of baseball that we wanted to see from the Yankees. Bellinger, terrific in the field, terrific on the bases, and obviously a good hitter, now really starting to perform offensively for the Yankees. Stanton coming back healthy. Okay, I don't love Giancarlo Stanton, but he's still a threat. So a lot of, the Yankees, you can make the case with the rotation being banged up, obviously the way that it is with Gerrit Cole and then Clark Schmidt going down. But there's more there as well with Luis Gil on his way back. Carlos Rodon pitching his way to an All-Star game. It was terrific his last time out against the Cubs. So there's a lot of good there, but there's more, much more room for the Yankees to grow here in the second half. And they have to be more consistent. And that starts with the organization on down. Whether it's Cashman, whether it's Boone, and whether it's the players. And it's not just about getting a third baseman. It's about the way that they need to evaluate how or what they want to be. You know, Cole brought this up a couple weeks back about Boone, saying next time you guys get him on, ask him this question. What would an Aaron Boone team look like in his mind? Well, I mean, we're watching a team that's all over the place. They've got great power at times. They've got great speed when they're on base and able to use it. They can play some defense depending on which team you throw out there. They've got versatility, but does that hurt the consistency when you're moving the lineup around? What are the Yankees trying to be exactly? Are they trying to be a team that's just going to mash you and bludgeon you? The bully ball? Well, they've done that. And is that good enough to forget about win the World Series, win a division? Even with all that, though, you still have to feel comfortable with where both these teams are at going to the All-Star break. We can nitpick and we can say they need this and they need that, and they do. And they'll make trades and what pieces would be the right fit. Third baseman, bullpen arms. I mean, obviously the bullpen falling apart for both these teams. Yankees even maybe more alarming with the way that Luke Weaver had looked the last couple of weeks or so. You know, Devin Williams is right of the ship there. Loáisiga has been awful for them. Yankees are going to need at least an arm or two in the pen. I think the Mets need at least one legit arm and probably two arms overall, even with getting some guys back healthy. Both these teams will be fighting for similar pieces. I don't think the Mets are going to go looking for a third baseman. I would not. You know the Yankees are going to do that. But starting pitching, bullpen, you heard Brian Cashman say it. You know, it's always pitching. It's always pitching. But that's why I think the Yankees have a little bit less of a grade going in right now. I expected more. We always grade based off of the expectations versus results. And I think the Mets have exceeded expectations, being just a half game back going to the All-Star break in their division with all that they have taken on. I think they've exceeded expectations. Now, this is not holding the Mets to a lower standard. It's just the reality coming into the season. Going the rest of the way, the Mets are going to be expected to be one of the teams to compete to win a World Series. Will they do that? We'll find out. But they have exceeded expectations, at least in my mind, going into the All-Star break. Whereas the Yankees have not. They've underperformed for a variety of reasons. And that's why I'd give them a lower grade. But think about it. Both these baseball teams, the ups and downs, the roller coaster emotion of what we had for the first half with both. And it shows you, and we talked about this, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago now, where the way that we evaluate these teams, it was last Monday, I think, the way that we evaluate these teams has to change. Because on a constant day-to-day basis, it's nice to have a benchmark now going into the All-Star break saying, okay, here it is clear and concise. 4 days off, going to the All-Star game tomorrow night, whatever, home run derby tonight, if that does it for you, here's where both teams are at. And it's nice to assess that and look at what needs to be done the rest of the way to go win a World Series, which is each of their goals. But the roller coaster of emotions with both, whether it be individual players, whether it be the teams overall, I mean, it's a wild ride, and then it ends up kind of where you're both okay with it. You know, the Yankees should not have blown that first place lead. They were hanging on, and then Toronto just took it to them head-to-head. So that's where you're really disappointed there. Probably knocks a, you know, full grade off, or at least, you know, could have been a B+, A minus, something like that. And I give out tough grades. I mean, I'm sorry. What can I tell you? I'm a difficult person to please, just like my wife. I, too, have high standards. But the emotions of a baseball season, man, the way we react to each and every one of these games night in, night out, sometimes it's too much. It feels like the world's, oh, no, how could the Yankees lose 4 in a row to Toronto? It's over. Some would even say they should sell. But you never want to go there. Poor PT. He can't defend himself this week on vacation. You never want to go there. You want to try to keep it even. This is me saying it. Like, that's why I would get mad at Soto not performing the first couple of months, sure. But overall, big picture, you know it's going to be fine. Same thing with the Yankees. You know it's going to be fine. Now, to what degree could the Yankees not win the division? And if that doesn't happen, I think that's a problem. The Yankees don't win the AL East. And you could just say, and maybe the Yankees would say this, well, you know, you just got to get in and take your chances. Sure, understood. And the Yankees would have as good a chance of anybody. But you don't want to have that extra round of the playoffs. You don't want to be able, you want to be able to set everything up. You got to win the division. And for the Mets, they haven't won a division in 10 years, for goodness sake. It's not just about getting in. I guess we could worry about that when we get there. Both these teams, though, in a great spot heading into the All-Star break. And still, the hopes and dreams of a Subway Series World Series right there in front of us. 888-808-1019. Just getting started on this Monday morning. BT and Sal. BT on vacation this week, so it's just me. We have a lot of special stuff planned for you here. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut, starting us off. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Sal. Great monologue. You're right on with the Mets. They actually overachieved with all those injuries and absolutely decimated pitching. To be a half a game out, all these analysts overlooked the Mets. All you hear is Philly, all the Phillies. The Phillies got better pitching. Phillies. You know what? Except for the last series, Phillies have trouble beating us, Sal.
Yeah, well, no, I get
it.
Ray, I don't think it was just about the Phillies coming into the year. It was the Phillies and Braves. Well, one of those teams have already been eliminated. I mean, where are all the people who kept saying, oh, Sal, you lost. You can't say the Braves are dead. Where are they now? As the Braves, they didn't gain any ground in the last 4 weeks. They're going backwards. They're done. The Atlanta Braves are toast on the Mets. They've already limited. You're not worried about the Marlins. It's a two-team race in the National League East, and any Met fan, Ray, would have signed up for that to start the year.
Right, Sal. The Mets make the proper trades at the deadline. They win that division, Sal.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the next step, and thank you for the call, Ray, and for the kind words. That will be the next step here. What moves, you know, who will be the aggressor? We know Brian Cashman is going to be aggressive. We know that. That's built in. Will David Stearns and Steve Cohen be aggressive? I believe that we will see the most aggressive Mets deadline in quite some time. I mean, I don't recall. Maybe 2015, you know, ahead of the deadline when they brought in Kelly Johnson and Uribe and then got Cespedes. Maybe that would be the last time that they were that level of aggressive. You know, certainly not what happened in 2022 with Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelback, where the Mets were kind of, no, we'll be all right. We'll just add a little bit here. And no, it doesn't work like that. They needed to be aggressive. Now, you could argue what moves were, you know, there to be made. You know, even more so than the Javi Baez, the one that you wish you could have back with Pete Crow Armstrong. That was aggressive, sure, but not to the level that it was in 2015 and not to the level of what it needs to be this year. Richard is in Stratford, Connecticut. What's up, Richard?
I'm so glad to talk to you, especially since BT's not there to defend the Yankees. I'm a huge Yankee fan, and I got to tell you, they can go out and get the best third baseman available, the best bullpen arms, the best starting pitching, and I think they can't win a division, let alone World Series, until they do something about Volpe. He should be back in the minor leagues.
He's been a problem,
he's
Richard.
He's not ready.
He's been a problem. He's regressed. Now, Cashman was defiant. I'm sure you saw the quotes from Cashman the other day after he was addressing the media after the Yanks moved on from DJ LeMahieu finally. And he said he's our shortstop. So you're going to live or die with Anthony Volpe. Now, it's not good. And the defense is where you really, like, it's almost to a point, Richard, where you would accept less than offense from Volpe. But you need him to shore up the defense. What he did yesterday, two times, but specifically on that ball that he let play him where he's backing off of it, that's minor league stuff. You can't have that happen at the big league level.
Can I throw one thing in there?
Yeah.
I think if he went down to the minors, if you're not getting offense from shortstop, you need defense. You put Peraza at short, which is his natural position, and he might even hit better because he's in his natural position, and you send Volpe down. You'd be so much better defensively with Peraza at shortstop.
Yeah, he's the better defensive player, and thank you for the call, Richard. Glad to let you vent your thoughts about Volpe and the Yankees here. I don't think it's significant enough to prevent the Yankees from winning a division. Now, prevent them from winning a World Series, that's a different story. You can't, and maybe it is going to be significant enough to prevent them from winning a division. You can't have a shortstop that plays defense the way Volpe has regressed to playing defense. I'm sorry. End of story. That play yesterday, it just can't happen. Now, whatever. On the bad throw to Goldschmidt, the one that bounced, Goldschmidt had to come off the bag, and then he fired late to home. Those things happen. If it were that in isolation, it wouldn't be a huge deal. But the one that he just sits back and lets the ball play him, like, that's minor league stuff. Minor league stuff from Volpe. They cannot get away with that from their shortstop and expect to win a World Series. You're right. I don't care if they had bullpen arms or a third baseman. That can't happen. The hope is that it corrects itself. But the Yankees now have been waiting 3 years for Volpe to reach his full potential, what they believed he could be, and it hasn't happened. And they're still just waiting for it to correct itself as opposed to holding him accountable and sending him down. I don't know if that would ruin him or wake him up, but this can't continue.